Good morning. Welcome to the Bell and Paul Kliegel Show. Brad Paulk and Bob Leonard in the studio today to bring you another personal injury topic for you to consider, for you to think about. We are personal injury lawyers. A number of years ago, 20, 25 years ago, we formed Bell and Paulk in 1984, but back about 20 years ago, Gary Bell and I sat down and we started thinking about what we wanted to do with respect to presenting ourselves to the public. And you get a lot of people who present themselves to the public by trying to tell you what great accolades they have in the past. We could do that. We have won our fair share of great verdicts and had great recoveries. But that doesn't mean much to you, the fact that somebody else got something. And it means nothing to your case as far as what's there for you in the future and what you're going to get. All it means is the lawyers have been lawyers and they've been doing their job and they're collecting the money and they're doing their work. And that's what we do. But we also felt that the public needed to be educated. We wanted to educate the public. And that's one of the things we do is we try to educate you to give you the knowledge and information of what your personal injury claim is all about. If you've been hurt, you have a lot of questions. We don't ask you to pick up the phone from the scene of the accident and call us. You can if you want. At 303-795-5900. We don't ask you to necessarily call us right from the emergency room. You can if you want again, or if you want to call us in the ambulance, you can if you want. 303-795-5900. Where we have people at the phones 24/7 to be able to take your call, get you to a lawyer. You're not going to get to some type of investigator or somebody who's just there to sign you up. We get you to a lawyer. If they can't get you to a lawyer in the connection of the call, we have them call you back and you get a call back where they say, okay, a lawyer talks to you and it'll be a lawyer. We have lawyers on call throughout the weekend and in the evenings who have the responsibility to make a call and talk to you and make sure that you have your questions answered. Then we get you in and we talk to you about a game plan. And it's a legal game plan. We've copyrighted that term and that phrase, and it's a legal game plan because we want you to know what the game plan is. And it'll change as you go. And you come in at first and they talk to you about what needs to be done to begin with. And then as the case develops and as you develop and as your injuries go one way or the other, either better or worse, and as your right to recovery goes better or worse, and we start to find out what's available to recover from the other side, or from your own insurance coverage. We've talked to you about that before. We have plenty of programs on you getting your own coverage, your UIM, UM, uninsured, underinsured motorist coverage. We've talked to you plenty of times about the case, the value of your case, and what it's worth. A lot of it depends on what kind of insurance coverage there is by the at-fault party. At-fault party is the party who ran into you and your own legal game plan. So, or your own uninsured and underinsured motorist coverage. So we put together a legal game plan, and as we put together that legal game plan, we move on to proceed with your case pursuant to the plan that we've all talked about. If you have listened to our programs, you're educated a lot on it. If you're not, we'll educate you. We work to make sure that our clients know what's going on and that you know what's going on, that you understand what the progress and what the theory is and what we're trying to do. That's Bell and Pollock. We are the champions of the people. We're at 303-795-5900, or you can reach us at bellpollock.com, and we will sit down and we'll talk to you about how to work out and how to handle your personal injury case. So if you've been hurt as a result of the negligence of another in a car crash, in a slip and fall, or some other act that's resulted in you being hurt, we'll be there for you, and we can recover for you, and we'll do a great job for you. And we have certain procedures and practices we make sure we're followed. Today we're going to talk about the most common types of personal injury cases. Now, this is from 2019. The total formula hasn't come in for 2020 yet. I know it's been a long time in 2020, but we're talking about the most common types of personal injuries that you receive from life out there. Most of these personal injuries are going to be related to a couple of major events, a car crash or a slip and fall. There's other places too, and a car crash can also include a truck crash where a big 18-wheeler or or semi-truck runs into you. And the purpose of this is just to give you an idea what your personal injuries can be, let you understand what you're looking at. I've said many times, and I'll continue to say many times, the most dangerous thing you do, the most dangerous thing you do for the vast majority of you, is get in your car and drive. That's what the most dangerous thing is you do. You're taking vehicles and you're driving 20 to 40 to 60 to 80 miles an hour. You're putting yourself out among the general public with all the different skill levels of drivers that might be there. You're putting yourselves out among all the different drivers who might be doing different things within their car and not paying attention. And you're hurtling yourself down the road at 20 to 40 to 60 miles an hour with other people doing the same thing, going at you, coming from the side, behind you, and you're just waiting for a crash. And most people are going to be in a crash sometime in their life. Hopefully it's not a devastating one, and hopefully it's something we can overcome. So, Bob, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Brad. Thanks. That was a great introduction.
Yeah, it took a little while. I apologize for that, but I want to make sure everybody understands what we're doing and how it's going on. Bob, we talk about the most common types of personal injury cases, personal injuries, and there are some common ones.
Well, I thought we should talk about that today because our clients come in and they have injuries. They wouldn't come in unless they were injured. The most common types, multiple types, we have traumatic brain injuries, spinal cord injuries, back injuries, internal injuries. I think today we should focus on some of these major, people hear about traumatic brain injury. What is a traumatic brain injury? How does it affect you? How do you get treated for it? Spinal cord injuries and paralysis, is that the same thing as traumatic brain injury or something else? What about whiplash? So I thought it'd be a good idea we talk to our clients today and tell them about the types of injuries, if they're involved in an automobile accident, they could expect, and how we as lawyers, as their champion of the people, can help them get through these serious times in their life when they have severe injury caused by an automobile accident or a slip and fall.
And it is important. I mean, for instance, I often call it what can sometimes be a silent injury, and it's a traumatic brain injury, and it's a silent injury because sometimes we can tell when somebody's had a traumatic brain injury, Bob. Other times you can't. Other times it's not readily apparent until you spend more time around the person.
Not readily apparent to the person. They may have fogginess, but they don't realize it's their family members, people they live with. If someone has traumatic brain injury, their personality might change. Their sleep patterns might change. They may become photophobic. Their light bothers them or sound. But these people don't realize what's going on around them. They don't realize, but it's their family members, people who live with them, their coworkers. They realize there's something changed in this person after having traumatic brain injury.
And it takes, like you said, coworkers. It takes family members. It takes people that are close to the person to understand. It's like a lot of times when you ask somebody if they've been knocked unconscious, and we get a lot of times the answer, or they don't know. And they don't know because they don't even realize till you start sitting down and going through this series of events that there's a gap in time there that they're not aware of. Because when you're knocked unconscious, you're unconscious. You don't know you're unconscious. Sometimes it takes somebody telling you. Other times you do realize there's a gap in time. Brain injuries are the same thing. Traumatic brain injuries, they can range from mild traumatic brain injuries that which are brief changes in the mental state or consciousness to severe traumatic brain injuries where you're unconscious or memory loss for an extended time after the injury. A lot of times what's classified as a mild TBI, traumatic brain injury, it has a very significant impairment on your life. And it has a very significant impairment on what's happening. For 2019, the BrainLine.org reported that every year in the United States, we have at least 1.7 million people that suffer a traumatic brain injury. And of those 1.7 million, 1.3 million or so, close to 1.4, are treated in emergency rooms and then released. 275,000 are hospitalized and 52,000 actually die from a traumatic brain injury. And you stop to think about that. You start realizing these are serious problems and they have to be treated one way or another.
And the cost to society is over $60 billion a year. So when you get hit in the head, caused by an accident, you know, it goes not just affects you, but affects everybody around you. But $60 billion, that's a lot of money that they have to, people are spending because they've been injured. According to the CDC, you know, the TBI, people are going, again, hospitalization rates have increased by 11%, and the deaths increased by 7%. And children, too, end up in the emergency room. About 250,000 kids a year end up with brain injuries, either by car crashes or other falls.
And that's one of the things that is very important to understand is when we're talking about a traumatic brain injury in children, sometimes you're not going to recognize that. Unless you function with the children, you're doing things with the child, you're spending time around the child, sometimes it's, in many times, not just some, many times, it's hard for them to identify and tell you about their brain injury, about the problems they're having. And there are certain signs you need to look at. And if you suspect a brain injury, you need to look at those signs. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard in studio today. Today we're talking to you about the most common types of personal injuries that you're going to see. This is from 2019, but it's been the same for 2020 and 2021. I can guarantee you these are the most common types of personal injuries you're going to see from a car crash or from events that are going on in your life. It's good to be able to recognize them, understand they're there, and understand that there are things that need to be treated and taken care of. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back to talk to you about additional and personal injuries that people have in a car accidents and their slip and falls and in negligence cases. We'll be right back.
This Legal Minute is brought to you by Bell and Pollock Personal Injury Lawyers at championsofthepeople.com.
Hi, I'm Gary Bell of the law firm of Bell and Pollock. We are injury attorneys, and this is your Legal Minute. Today, we're talking about drunk drivers and punitive damages. What are punitive damages, by the way? How do they help you? Can they help you? Punitive damages exist by statute in Colorado. They're there to punish the wrongdoer for intentional, reckless, wrongful, wanton acts. Drunk driving is one of those reckless acts. You can obtain punitive damages against drunk drivers, and that puts additional legal, legitimate pressure on the insurance company for the drunk driver to pay you your complete, legitimate money for your injuries and damages and losses. Do not let them get away with it. Make sure you can prove the driver was drunk. Call the police. Bell and Pollock, championsofthepeople.com. We'll help you.
For your Bell and Pollock legal game plan, visit championsofthepeople.com.
Welcome back to Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock and Bob Leonard in the studio today. We're talking to you about the most common types of personal injuries. What should you be looking for? What do you understand will be those personal injuries? What do you understand will be the injuries that can come from a car crash, that can come from a slip and fall, that can come from an event that is the fault of another? If we have time today, we'll even be talking about the most common types of injuries that you're going to have from a dog bite or from a dog attack, when you have that kind of problem. It's important to know what these injuries are, to understand what they are. It's important to understand that you're going through it. I had a lady call me just the other day. She was smashed into. Her vehicle had $13,000 of damage to it. And she was from her rear end, and she was talking about the fact that it happened a couple of months ago. And since then, she's been walking around with neck pain. Not so debilitating that it's put her in the hospital, because she's not the type that will go there. She's a tough person. She doesn't go to the hospital. But just think about the crash that created it. The car behind her was going 30 to 40 miles an hour, smashed into her, and it thrust her forward, and it thrust her back, and thrust her forward again. Yeah, she had her seatbelt on, but it smashed her around, and it threw her around. And there she is, walking around with this neck pain for the next couple of months, thinking it'll go away. It'll go away. It's just a temporary thing, and not wanting to recognize there may be a severe injury here. We immediately got her hooked up to go to get an MRI, to get some scanning done, and to find out what's wrong with this lady, to make sure she's okay. You know, or if not, to make sure we can get a legal game plan for her, and from the medicine side, a medical game plan for her to be taken care of. But today we're talking about the common types of injuries. We just covered traumatic brain injury. That's a silent one. It's hard to recognize them. What has to happen? What kind of treatment is there for a traumatic brain injury? You know, we talk about medications. We'll talk about surgery. There can be rehabilitation to help the victim relearn basic skills. There can be surgeries to reduce additional damage, to repair fractures in the skull and to drain accumulation of fluid or to make room for the swollen tissue.
One thing, Brad, is if you have a traumatic brain injury, you need to get to the right doctor, the right person to take care of you, because as Brad, you just mentioned, it's a silent injury. Those people around you realize there's something going on, but they don't know what's going on, you know, in your brain. So you need to get to the doctor, and that's part of our game plan. We will help you find, you know, the proper treatment providers. Will help you, guide you in a direction. We're not going to tell them how to manage your injury, but, you know, you need to get to the right kind of doctors, right kind of professionals. If you're suffering from a fog, if you're walking around in fog, you know, you need to talk to us about that.
And this can be a change in moods. It can be a change that you can be depression, or it could be that you easily go off now when you didn't used to and you have short tolerances. It could be that you don't understand things or that you don't remember things as well. A lot of times this has to come from loved ones that have to tell you, or people who are close to you, or fellow workers, or someone who can talk to you and then can relate to the attorney and to the doctor and to everyone else. This person's just not the same. They're different. And we start talking about how they're different and what it takes to address the brain injury, understanding that there has been one, because sometimes is just not readily apparent. One that can be readily apparent, though, is a spinal cord injury. And when we start talking about spinal cord injuries, we talk about some injuries that usually occur from a traumatic blow to the spine or from a movement that causes a traumatic change to the spine, and it causes a spinal cord injury that also can lead to severe consequences if not treated.
And usually people talk about spinal cord injury, you hear them talk about a slipped disc, a ruptured disc, fracture to the vertebrae. Those are all kinds of, you know, the injuries that can cause tearing the spinal cord tissue or pressure on the tissue of the spinal cord, resulting in pain, could result in paralysis. You know, some of the times it could be the permanent or temporary. You started at the top of the brain, now we're looking at your neck and where your brain, you know, your head sits on the spinal cord. So if you have a brain injury, you could have, if you have spinal cord injury also.
You can look at loss of sensation, including cold, heat, and touch. You can have loss of movement, spasms or exaggerated reflex action, loss of bladder or bowel control. A lot of times the doctors ask that almost immediately. Do you have any problems with that? Change in sexual function or sensitivity, infertility, difficulty coughing, breathing, or clearing the lungs. You feel that pain whenever you're trying to do that. Pain or intense stinging from damaged spinal cord nerve fibers. A spinal cord injury is something that has to be paid attention to. And these are not uncommon injuries in a car crash when somebody's been hit. The CDC has categorized the causes of spinal cord injuries and the percentage. And when it gets to the question of slip and falls and motor vehicle accidents, 68% of your spinal cord injuries are from that area, or from those spinal cord injuries come from either falls or motor vehicle accidents. Think about that. We talk about, you know, we're concerned about our loved ones and our youth and people being involved in sports activities and having a spinal cord injury there, but that's only 12%. 68%, more than five times greater, occur from falls or motor vehicle accidents. And when you divide up the falls to motor vehicle accidents, it's twice as many from motor vehicle accidents as it is from falls. Twice as many.
And the cost of spinal cord injury is very high. You know, people can have a spinal cord injury. The average medical cost may be, you know, $15,000 to $30,000. But over a lifetime, it could cost the person $500,000 up to $3 or $4 million. Because, you know, they have problems, they can't work, they have chronic neck pain, back pain. And, you know, it could affect their job, their careers, the constant going in and out of the, you know, seeing providers. So it's very high cost if someone has a spinal cord injury.
So you have to pay attention to that. You have to understand what you're looking at and what the expense is. And that's why you need recovery. And a little sideline that I talked about a little earlier, that's why you need to look and have a good, healthy understanding of your underinsured and uninsured motorist coverage, how much you're taking care of yourself and how much protection you have for yourself. Is that coverage there to help you in the event somebody runs into you and causes an injury, causes you pain, causes you suffering, causes you disability, that the money's not there because they aren't carrying coverage? Our state requires $25,000 of coverage per person, $50 per accident. That's what you're required to carry. Now, that's not even going to be a drop in the bucket to protect you on a spinal cord injury. When you hear all this stuff of, oh, I got $200,000, I got $100,000, I got $600,000, or that, the money's got to be available, folks. If the money's not available, getting that money, getting a verdict, or getting a going to court and getting a jury to say, hey, that's $500,000 or that's $1 million, that doesn't mean anything. If the money's not there, the money's got to be there. And for the money to be there, it's got to be somebody who's carrying the coverage. And most of the time, it's going to be you carrying the coverage.
And, you know, if you have a neck injury or a spinal cord injury, you know, it can be treated with medication, drugs. But most often, you have to have some kind of surgery to remove the piece of the spinal, the disc that may be putting pressure on the nerves or has been herniated. And the gelatin material inside is pushing on the nerves. So you generally have to have some kind of surgery to bring the spine back in alignment and also to remove the thing that's causing pressure and causing pain.
And going right from the spinal cord injuries, we talk about neck injuries. There's a difference between a spinal cord injury and a neck injury. The Mayo Clinic estimates that 120,000 people sustain whiplash injuries every year. People hear whiplash and they think it's a small injury. A whiplash can be a debilitating forever injury for the rest of your life. You have to understand that whiplash injuries are severe. Once again, get that head restraint put in the right place. Just because it's in the right place doesn't mean you'll avoid a whiplash injury, but at least it can help. And if it's not in the right place, you may not have it help at all. You need to try and take care of your neck injuries and be careful about what happens. And that blends right into shoulder injuries. And all of a sudden, you find yourself with shoulder injuries. And Bob, there's certain types of shoulder injuries that people look at. There's a number of them. I don't think we have time to go through the different ones, but we can certainly list them or enumerate them.
I think the most common one people talk about is rotator cuff injury. That's caused by a tear of the muscles and tendons in the shoulder joint within the socket. It's called the rotator cuff. The function of that is, you know, keep your shoulder in the socket. But, you know, repetitive motion is a common cause of injury, but also automobile accidents. If you get hit while you're driving a car, holding that steering wheel from behind or from the side, you can tear the muscle structure inside the shoulder. And the only way it can be repaired is through surgery. And it's a very long surgery. The recovery takes about 6 months.
Right. Yeah, the rotator cuff surgery. You may have a separated shoulder, a dislocated shoulder. You can have shoulder sprains, shoulder strains, and the thoracic outlet syndrome, which is a common injury we see in motor vehicle accidents. That happens to your shoulder, and that in the thoracic outlet syndrome also can be an on-the-job injury, workers' comp injury, and those can cause pain down into your fingers, down your hands, or numbness, where all of a sudden you start realizing you have numbness in certain parts, certain fingers, or in your hands, and it can cause a great deal of injury. It's something you need to pay attention to. Then, you know, the last thing we talk about a little bit is damage caused by crush injuries. And you have the crush injuries that come up. Those can happen. A lot of times they're not going to happen when you're inside the car unless a part of the car compartment has given way and caused a crush. Or if you're stuck between two cars, you got hit.
Also, you can have an airbag injury. You know, if you're a small person, I mean, a small woman or small child, you know, that airbag can just, when it opens up with such force, it can break their sternum and crush their chest, which also, you know, can be classified as a crush injury.
And then lastly, but not least, you can talk about scarring. You can talk about debris going into one's eyes and causing blindness or causing eye problems. You can talk about scarring to the face. That especially happens with respect to the dog attacks. That also can cause shoulder injuries and other injuries and disfigurement. And these are severe injuries that you live with the rest of your life that need to be addressed in your legal game plan. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock and Bob Leonard in the studio today. We've been talking to you about common types of injuries that can occur from events in your life that are that where you should be able to recover from the injuries and where you should be able to have a legal game plan and you should be able to recover. We are Bell and Pollock. You can reach us at championsofthepeople.com, bellpollock.com, or 303-795-5900. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
This Legal Minute is brought to you by Bell and Pollock Personal Injury Lawyers at championsofthepeople.com.
Hi, I'm Gary Bell with the law firm of Bell and Pollock. We are injury attorneys. This is your Legal Minute. Today, we're talking about the very first phone call with the insurance adjuster for the at-fault party. Do you know what to do? Do you know what to say? Do you know what you should do? Do you know what you shouldn't do? You don't. You know, for that instance, in that situation, the insurance adjuster, that's an ordinary day and event for him or her. It's not an ordinary day or event for you. You need to understand your rights. You need a legal game plan. You need it laid out for you in a free initial consultation. At Bell and Pollock, that's what we do. That's what we can do for you. A game plan for the way the accident happened, a legal game plan for your injuries, damages, and losses to prove them. Bell and Pollock, championsofthepeople.com will help you.
For your Bell and Pollock legal game plan, visit championsofthepeople.com.
Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock and Bob Leonard in the studio today. You've been listening to the most common types of injuries you can get from the negligence or in your personal injury case. We are Bell and Pollock. You can reach us at bellpollock.com, championsofthepeople.com, or 303-795-5900. Bob, parting remarks.
You know, Brad, if you're injured in an automobile accident or slip and fall, you're entitled to certain types of damages. So we just generally talk about the general damage being the non-economics, the lost quality of life, the pain and suffering. But there's these we call special damages, which are the damages that you can actually put a price tag on, your lost wages, your expenses for medical bills, lost earnings. We just went over a few of these different types of injuries. But if you went through this list, which is much, we have another list much, much longer than the three or four we talked about today. But these injuries cause losses, and you come to Bell and Pollock, our legal game plan will outline those losses that are, you know, those special damages that you're entitled to, and try to move your case forward so that, you know, that you're getting the highest return recovery for your loss. So you need to come to Bell and Pollock.
Let us help you with regard to your injuries. If you have a loved one that's been injured, or if you've been injured, the result of negligence of another, give us a call, 303-795-5900, bellpollock.com, champions of the people. You can't miss us, and we're there for you. We'll talk to you next week about another topic. In the meantime, stay safe, and we'll talk to you next week.